Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Game Changers on 101.5 UMFM.
On the radio.
And online. We update every week.
Wow.
It's amazing. I'm Megan.
I'm Alice.
And we talk about video games because we like video games.
Yes. I could say that I like them for definitely.
We arguably enjoy video games.
Video games.
And we play a lot of video games. And I've actually beaten two in the past week or so.
Yeah.
I finally beat Itken Fell.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an incredibly satisfying end, I found, to this cute little RPG game. And it was... Oh, I don't want to spoil anything, but I am going to be sharing a song, Gilda's theme from Itken Fell, a little later on the show. And I also, we got our free games of the month from PlayStation Plus, which was Control, which was a game we really enjoyed over the summer, and Concrete Genie by the studio Pixel Opus.
Yeah.
So... that's actually the game I'm going to talk about is Concrete Genie, because it was a very cool little game. It's about 10 hours to beat, and it came out on PlayStation 4 as well as PlayStation 4 VR. It had a mode for VR.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see exactly how much fun this would be on VR, but it could have been... I guess one of my gripes would be that it could have been a much longer game without that support.
Yeah.
So, it's, in this game, you play as Ash, and you are an artist. You have encountered a bunch of bullies in your old hometown, which is this abandoned fishing village called Denska. And they pick on you because you are an artist. For whatever reason, this is what they decide to focus in on. And they destroy your sketchbook and scatter all the pages of your sketchbook along this town. So the whole point of the game is to go and find the pages of your sketchbook again. And as you go along, you create these creatures, the so-called concrete genies, and you bring this town back to life. It's a very pretty game. I like a lot of the art of it. It's in the cutscenes, it's very... stop motion-y. Yeah, I guess I would be...
No.
Yeah.
I wouldn't agree with you. The only stop motion part is the mouse. And I feel that...
No, I think the rest of it's very... It's got that style.
Of what?
Of being stop motion. Like, you can see it as sort of... It reminds me of Coraline.
I think maybe Paranorm. Stylistically, but I would say visually it doesn't remind me of stop motion at all. Like, maybe the mouse. But I would say... Like, once again, I was watching you play this, and I only have... I think it looks fine, but I have a lot of criticisms. I think the art style... I think that the mouth movement detriments it, but I see it... It was an easy choice, because then they don't have to animate mouths. They just do a different animated mouth. It would have been better if the animation was more, like, stop motion. Like, it was animated on, like, a lower frame rate. But it wasn't. It was animated at a high frame rate. And the mouths were not, which is... weird, and I think that's... I thought the cutscenes were not good because of that. Like, I think that was a detriment to the style choices.
I liked it. There was something about it that I really enjoyed. I'm not... And
well,
that's
I'm just saying, like, it wasn't stop motion, though. Which, it could have been cool if it was actually stop motion. Or if it was actually... Once again, it's not... I don't think it's that difficult to animate... Like, if you already have it at a high frame rate, you could probably lower the frame rate to get sort of that jittery stop-motion look. But that was only for the mouths, and it looked weird. That's my criticism of it. It's fine. It also introduced a mechanic, like, two-thirds of the way through the game, which I think is a bad idea.
Yeah, see, this is why I want the game to be longer, because, well, in two-thirds of the way of the game, you... suddenly end up with a combat mechanic, which was very Kingdom Heartsy, where you have a fire attack, a wind attack, an electric attack, but it was so close to the end of the game that you didn't get to appreciate this and have fun with it. And that's another thing, is that there's also limited areas. So the first two-thirds of this game feel very much like it could be a tutorial level, like it could be an expansive world. Mm-hmm. And I would have loved so much more of this game. Like, you could have easily added more areas and, like, at least another 20 hours. It doesn't have to be a super long game, but you can give me more. I want more.
Yeah.
But regardless, it was fun, and it's definitely worth picking up if you got PlayStation Plus. And if I ever get the chance to play this on VR, I do want to check it out on VR.
Yeah, I don't, once again, I think it's one of those games where it's VR for the sake of being VR, and I don't think it helps. Like, I think it's a game that it would have been perfectly fine without VR. And then they could have also, once again, put more resources into things like animation. Because there's even, like, the cutscene credits, there's some really lovely 2D art. And had they even done something like that, that would have been better. Because, like, the animation and the character models aren't bad, but it's just boring.
So, yeah, if you get the chance to check out Concrete Genie, it is still definitely worth checking out. It is a fun little game. I hope that they come out with another very similar title, mm-hmm. using many of the same mechanics, maybe even I'd pick up a sequel.
Yeah, like, I think this is a fine game, but I think it would have been cool if they had workshopped it a little harder, because I feel that this is, like, their first game.
Second, actually, this
What's their first game?
Entwined.
I don't remember that.
But that was when the studio was first starting out. Pixel Opus was a group of university students who were challenged to make a game by Sony Interactive Entertainment Studios. So, hopefully we're going to see more from them. I definitely want to play more games of this caliber, which is why I also picked up Okami for this week to talk about for next week. Again.
Why?
Because I wanted more of a game that gave me a chance to paint and use those sort of similar mechanics, because, well, Concrete Genie, you had the chance to use the right-hand stick to paint, or you could use the motion to paint, which was much easier, I'm not going to lie. It could be a little hard to control the brush. I just wanted more of that art action.
Okay. I would say you're just trying to make an excuse for you to play Okami again, because there are plenty of games, I'm sure, that have a similar mechanic to Concrete Genie. But
that was just the most successful one to me right now.
We also have Epic Mickey, but okay.
That means setting up the Wii.
We also have Epic Mickey.
Okay, fine. I will set up the Wii and we'll play some Epic Mickey and Kirby's Epic Yarn.
There you go.
There was a lot of Epic games in that in that time. And what have you been playing for the past week?
Well, you're like, I beat two games. But yes, Megan, I also beat two games. I technically beat three games. But we're not going to talk about Hades, because I want to talk about Hades forever, and that'll be for later, because I beat Hades. Well, beat, quote-unquote, beat. I got to the credits, which I think that, anyway. But the game that I actually played and beat last week was Haunting Ground, which is a game I've wanted to play for a very long time. It's a 2006 PlayStation 2 game, which, like, maybe that tells you all you need to know about it. It's a survival horror by Capcom. It is somewhat of a spiritual successor to the Clock Tower series, which, if you know, they're sort of the first ones were sort of a point and click kind of terrible thing, but basically you were running away from this guy with big scissors. And that's basically the game is running away from a scary thing.
With big scissors.
Scissorman was, like, the main character, main bad guy for this Clock Tower series, sort of. It got weird, as most survival horror Capcom series do.
Yeah, horror seems to be Capcom's bread and butter.
Well, when they do it well, like, once again, they had a little dip. 2012 wasn't great. Once again, I love Resident Evil 6, I'll die on that. But it was not a good game. Anyway, Haunting Grounds is a survival horror game where you play as this character named Fiona. And you have a dog named Huey. Now, of course, kept on calling Huey Brown, because there are similarities in it in Rule of Rose, in that it's sort of a late era PlayStation 2 survival horror that's hard to get now. Like, it's like the disc is around $95 for Haunting Grounds. Just the disc. Just so the not disc. Anything else.
No jewel casing, no booklet. No. Just...
It's fine. Like, this game, I was reading about it, and some of the critics were like, they were praising the fact that Fiona is sort of a character with little agency, and she's heavily sexualized. Basically, she ends up at a castle because she got into a car accident, and it's like the now times, right? Right. Like, this is like 2006, so it's in the game, it's present day 2006. She ends up in a castle, and her parents are apparently dead, and there are people trying to chase her and do something with her, basically use her. It has a lot to do with sort of like alchemy and homunculus kind of esque. Like, that's the magic of this right. series, right? Like,
inexplainable kind of.
Well, okay, sure.
Quote unquote explainable.
Yeah, sure. Like, that's like, rather than that, that's the magic of this world, right? Like, they're not like, let's not make up magic or zombies or whatever. This is what is in this world. So, like, there are not great things about this game. Like, first of all, the first, basically, you are chased, as I said, this is a Clock Tower kind of spiritual successor game. You are chased by four different bad guys or enemies. There aren't really enemies in this game, but there are characters that will consistently chase you throughout, like, the castle area. So the first one is named Delibitus, and he thinks that Fiona is one of his dolls, and so that's why he consistently tries to get you. Interestingly enough, he's one of the only characters you can, like, you can keep him alive.
Right.
And he has, like, a quote-unquote happy ending, comparatively. And then there's other characters. There's Daniela, who is a maid, and the nature of this game is, once again, that, there's homunculuses, which are created humans, right, without souls, right, sort of yeah. thing. So it's something along the lines of that Fiona is needed to, you know, create the perfect human or something. Something along the lines of this. Like, I don't want to give away too much of the story. It's not the best story. It's not the most amazing. It's not, like, the most in-depth. And I'm not even sure, like, this, unlike Rule of Rose, which I think has a lot of, like, interesting things about it, like the storybook nature, the way the story is set up as an allegory. This is very much like, this is a castle, and it's a scary castle, and there are weird people trying to kill you, and you run around for some reason. There are terrible mechanics, such as Fiona will get too panicked, and she will just start running, and she'll just book it. And sometimes this is maybe helpful when you're running away from someone, because she goes real fast. But sometimes she'll fall down, and then sometimes she'll just walk into a wall, and she'll just continually hitting the wall until she calms down a little bit. Similarly, there are other things like, there's an alchemy set thing where you have to make certain things, and it's kind of a weird slot machine timing thing. I hate it. I think it's unnecessary. Similarly, it makes things that I don't know what they do. All of the little things are, like, Latin names. So I don't know what they do. And sometimes they hurt me and stop me from moving. So it was just at that point I was like, I am just not going to try anything that I don't know. I know chamomile calmed me down and lavender did something else. Like, and then there's your dog who... The dog is fine, but there's an amount that you have to train him. Like, there's a mechanic where you have to praise him or reprimand him for doing the good thing or the bad thing. Like, not doing something, well, not the bad thing, but the thing you didn't want him to do. So it's kind of like a weird micromanage-y aspect to this game that was kind of, like, the dog, honestly, I found him more of a hindrance than anything because I wanted him to help me a lot. And then he would just be, like, five scenes back because I, you know, he kind of felt useless. But obviously I'm not going to, like, abandon my dog because there is an ending where you can, like, quote-unquote bad ending where you can actually let the dog die. Of course there is, but why would I do that?
Monsters.
Yeah. I will say this game did, like, it gave me some good, like, scares in the way that... Because these characters, like, the enemies are consistently chasing after you, there's a chance for them to just, like, pop up. For example, Daniela was really annoying because Daniela would close doors. Unlike all the other characters, she would close doors behind her. And that just takes Fiona, like, an extra, like, 3 seconds to open the door. And I do have invincibility frames, right?
Right.
But it's still terrifying. Similarly, whenever you're being chased, there's music, and, like, we're going to listen to one of, like, Huey's theme, or it's called Precious Huey, which is one of the only listenable songs, to be honest, because most of it is, like, a weird industrial, angry, kind of a little bit technologically music. Like, I'd recommend go checking it out if you want. Once again, it's not that listenable. It has remnants of, like, Silent Hill, like, but not in any way that, like, Akira Yamaoka does, like, a good job of making, like, the Silent Hill somewhat harmonious soundtracks. Right. This is just, like, it's kind of, I guess it's supposed to be upsetting for what it is, right? You're being chased by scary people in a scary place. Obviously, like, Fiona's super sexualized. There's, like, extra outfits you can get that are real gross. And I don't want to be like, oh, that's just Capcom. But unfortunately, it was kind of just Capcom at the time. Like, not to say that they don't continually do that, but Capcom was really into extra costumes that were weird. That's basically, like, obviously not necessarily appropriate for the situation. But that's, I don't know, Capcom loves their weird cowboy outfits.
That's just their thing. They like that strange Western.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, here is Precious Huey from the Haunting Ground soundtrack.
So that was Precious Huey, huh?
Yeah. Like, and once again, I think it's sort of the nicest song. There is, like, a longer version that's, but it's just, it's the nicest song, and it's obviously sort of when Huey comes to save Fiona, or, you know, it's a nice moment. Like, it's one of the only nice moment songs. Yeah, and so then another game that I played, and we'll say I beat, because it's a multiplayer game, and it's in the vein of, like, Pacify. So Pacify was a game where basically you are ghost hunter, sort of.
Right.
And you have to go to a house and pacify this. It's a little girl who's being possessed, right?
Right.
So in this one, it's called Devour, and you are cult members who are trying to figure out what happened to your main cult leader because something happened in the ritual.
That's always a good sign.
Well, it's kind of a fun, you know, flip on, you know, you're a ghost hunter who goes somewhere, you're a blah, 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 who does something. It is very much like Pacify. Like, at first I was sort of told that this was more like Phasmophobia, which is the ghost hunting game, but this is much more like Pacify. Basically what you have to do is you have to find goats and sacrifice goats. That's sort of the thing. But as you're doing this, the cult leader, she's around and she's possessed, obviously, and she doesn't like you doing this. And also demons pop up. And they just sort of, like, spread out of the floor. And you can get rid of them by a UV light. You have, a flashlight and a UV light.
Okay.
They're probably the scariest part. Because they just sort of, like, they're crawling on the ground.
Nope, don't like that.
Yeah, yeah. And they're just sort of, like, you know, kind of like naked guys with horns that sort of just... and they can take you down. Obviously, the lady, her name's Anna, I think she can take you down. As well, like she can, and by take you down, it basically means that she will make you so you have to crawl everywhere, and then someone has to heal you,
right?
And obviously, if everybody goes down, then game over, kind of thing. Game wins if you sacrifice all the goats, obviously. The goats are very funny because they're like tiny, tiny goats, and they all have terrible little red eyes. And also you can tell that there's holes in the wall all around. That's where they go into, like, in the house. There's just little holes, and it's like that, you know, like a mouse maze.
When you say these goats are tiny, how tiny are they?
They're like cat size. They're pretty small.
That's excessively small goats.
They're pretty small. It's like, here's the thing. It's definitely a work in progress. I know it's something that they'll probably, you know, sharpen up, you know, things, how it looks visually as well. Because it's early game, maybe not early access, but it's sort of brand new. It's pretty fun. Like, it is about what, you know, what I thought it would be, kind of. It is very much like Pacify in that way. But there's, you know, chance for more things to happen. There's chance for, you know, more maps. It's one of those where they'll continuously be updating.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was fun. It's, you know... I don't know. It's like Pacify, but a little different.
Yeah.
Pacify, I think, is also going to come out with a new map soonish. Who knows? Like, once again, both of these are smaller teams, so I'm not being like, get it out now. It's fine. Like, consider, like, I don't know, Dead by Daylight, I think, has an update today or past day, where basically new map, new updated graphics. So... you know, there's a bunch of stuff that's continually updated that if you don't have one, we have another for right now, right?
Right.
Yeah, but those are what I've played. And once again, I beat Hades, and I'll talk about that later because it's great. And I don't want to put Hades and Haunting Grounds in the same. What's the Haunting Grounds was fine. Like, I think I would have been disappointed if I bought it. Because of course I didn't. I played a ROM because once again, I don't want to play $95 for this game that I can't get easily because it was once again at that end of PlayStation 2 where they're like, we made 5 of these because everybody's getting PlayStation 3s now.
And they're going to be out on PlayStation 3 allegedly.
Never.
That's actually something we should talk more about in the future, is emulator and ROM games.
Yeah, I think, once again, in this day and age, the fact that, well, something like Nintendo, you know, you can't get, like, half a dozen, well, no, I would say a large portion of Nintendo games, like old Nintendo games, you can't play unless you have the systems and the games. And something like, once again, an N64 will cost you around, like, $50 to $100. Not including the games.
Right.
Mario Kart, Mario Party, Smash. Like, those are all, they're, like, $50 to $100 games, right?
And there's so much that was localized that we will never be able to get.
And those are fun games, and they're games that sort of, like, people should be able to have a chance to play, right? So that's why something like ROMs or emulators, especially just, like, you know, nobody... You can't afford, like, a Nintendo, a Super Nintendo, a GameCube, an N64, a Wii, a Wii U, a Switch, a Switch Lite, 3DS, DS, DS Lite, right? DSi.
My collection took 30 years.
Well, I'm just saying, like, at this point in time, over 30 years, sure, you could have amassed a collection, but for people who are just like, oh, these games exist... you know, they're kind of out of luck because of the way, especially Nintendo, but, like, I would say there are other ways to play games, especially if you want to. And I would say they're fairly easy ways, especially if they're games that are ridiculously hard to get or just, like, you know, once again, Something like Rule of Rose is, I think it's $200 for the disc, right? Like,
right.
Like, Rule of Rose Haunting Grounds, they're kind of a ridiculous price for, you know, and I think Rule of Rose specifically, I'll say this, is a game that is worth watching or at least playing somewhat. Like, there are really cool things in it that people will miss out on because, you know, it's not available because they made five of them. And I got one. Yeah. Like, yeah. So I'm very for ROMs and emulators. I've been using them for, like, ages, right?
Yeah, and it's the only way that you could play a lot of the, like I said, localized games, like Evo or the Sailor Moon RPG, the Magic Knight Rare, the games that I want on, to, like, check out.
That were on the Saturn. Yeah, yeah, there's a lot of, like, there was a lot of anime games on the Saturn that just didn't come out. There's a Utena game, a Revolutionary Girl Utena. There's a lot of games that just didn't come over here or just don't come over here because, you know, they think that we're not interested, which, you know, maybe now, but at the time, obviously, you know, you had to go to specialty places to get stuff like anime or games or whatever, right?
That's true.
But yeah.
All right. So I think I'm going to close this out by playing Gilda's theme from Ikenfell.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's everything we got for this week. Keep changing.
Have a good one. What is it like to be loved and so adored? If I could be just as good as you, I'll never have to wonder. I can be better than I've ever been before. I'll do what it takes, I know I can be number one. Nothing to show for.